Good morning, everybody. Quite an unusual morning, Mrs. Gold. Do we have enough chairs for everybody, or do you need to bring in more chairs? Then please be ready to bring in more chairs. Okay. We have been learning Unasana Tokef for the last 3 weeks, I believe. And last week we dealt with tshuva. Now there's tefillah and tzedakah ma'avirin et ro'ah ha'gezerah, the evil. If there is to be an evil decree, it can be removed. It can be annulled by tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. Today is tefillah. Tefillah is such a broad subject. I'm going to bring it down to just one little, no, there's no little aspect of prayer, one little, very big, gigantic aspect of prayer. And I'm going to tell you a personal story, something that I wouldn't say haunt, but has troubled me, I would say, for about 40 years or more. At a board meeting somebody threw, I don't know whether it was a question or a statement, but I was caught off guard. He says, "Rabbi, I come to shul on Shabbos, I'm not inspired. What do you plan on doing about that?" All right, this is a challenge. And then, you know, 40 years ago, when I was a little younger, I was a little younger than I am now, and I don't know, I got flustered. Let's say the following. My response to this man was not memorable. And the proof that it was not memorable is I can't remember a single word that I said to him. All that I know is that afterwards, I started kicking myself. I should have told him this, and I should have told him that. I should have gone after this guy. That's the way it is. Our best responses come 10 minutes later, 10 years later, 40 years later. What I should have told him simply was, number one, mitzvah aseh litpalel b'chol yom. It's a positive commandment. The Rambam says it. First halacha in Hilchot Tefillah, it's a positive commandment to pray every day. Shenema, as it says, va'avadetem et Hashem Elokeinu, you should serve God your God. Mipi Hashmua, from our rabbis, we heard that the meaning, what does it mean you should serve the Lord? Long do they learn, Sha'avodazo, this word avodah is tefillah. That's the service that the pasuk is talking about. Shenema, as it says, Nishema, ula'avdo b'chol levavchem, you should serve him with all your heart. Omru chachamim, our rabbi, our wise man said, Ezohi avodah shebelev, what is service of the heart? Ula'avdo b'chol levavchem, to serve him with all your heart. Ezohi avodah shebelev, service of the heart. Zu tefillah, this is prayer. What I should have told this fellow is davening is not a spectator sport. You don't come into davening and just sit back over there, "Rabbi, inspire me." You know what's going to make your davening? Davening, I want to say that the reason why the word avodah is used, because to really daven and daven properly, it's work, it's hard work, it's effort, it's toil. What you put into it is what you get out of it. And the toil is the totality of everything that creates a religious personality. Your performance of mitzvahs, your relationship between men and fellow men. and learning tefillah. You have to put sometimes a lifetime of work into tefillah so that you finally be that which you want. If you want to come in over here, you understand? And you're going to sit over there and shoulder the back. Rabbi, inspire me. God, I should have gone after this guy with all guns. And I don't remember what I told him. So this year is the beginning of a vicarious thrill for me. It's a part of a deep psychological need to overcome everything that's been troubling me for all these years because I didn't give that guy the words. Tefillah is, Ivy, what a job tefillah is. How often do we really feel that we have davened and davened the kind of davening that God Almighty Himself is going to listen to? But He of course is, He is very compassionate. He will even accept our poor, paltry morsels of tefillah. So, I'll tell you where I'm going to take you, because as I said, the tefillah is so vast. There's so much to say about tefillah. I'm just going to focus on one thing, and we'll get that out of focus in a few minutes. There is a kapitel Tehillim that has 10 psukim in it, and we say it before the sounding of the shofar, both days of Rosh Hashanah. And we say it 7 times, which means that on Rosh Hashanah we're going to say it a total of 14 times. And you know, we have to keep counting, you know. I usually use my fingers, I don't let anybody see. I have my fingers, you know.
You're allowed
to use your fingers. I'm allowed to, yeah. That's, I'm tasking you to use the fingers. I can't count anymore. And we say it, and we say it, and we say it. And I'm afraid to say that most people are totally unaware of what a majestic kapitel tehillim this is. The purpose of the shiur is to learn that kapitel tehillim. When you're going to come to shul on Rosh Hashanah, and you're going to look around at all those poor people around you, and you're going to say it 7 times, and you're going to know exactly what's taking place over here. Oh yeah, you're going to say, thank God for Rabbi Gold, who taught us this kapitel tehillim. But before we get that, before we get there, I have a piece in English on the Koren Siddur. The Koren Siddur has an introduction on prayer by Jonathan Sacks. I have only one Lord, and that's the Lord Almighty. As far as I'm concerned, he's Jonathan Sacks. Brilliant, brilliant man. And his introduction to the Koren Siddur is really, really something to be studied. You can't just read it. But I'm only taking out one section, and in this section, what he deals with, he collects, and it makes it easy, because he collects the numerical structure of tefillah. Tefillah was never created by our rabbis in any haphazard fashion. You don't even notice it. But there's numerical and mathematical structure to the whole tefillah that is absolutely amazing. I'm going to be taking that in order to show you how it applies to our little chapter roll that we say before Tehillat Shofar. Numerical structures. I'm going to read through it quickly. As we have seen, many of the prayers have an obvious three-part structure. Anybody who goes back to my shiur about 30 years ago, over the years I gave all sorts of shiurim on the three-part structure of tefillah and many other things. Three is an extremely significant number. There are three ultimate articles of the faith: that God exists, that Torah was given at Sinai, that there is divine providence is rewarding punishment, the three fundamental pillars of Jewish belief. And so many parts of davening, I had demonstrated years ago, so many parts of davening fit precisely into this three structure of three, the three chapters of Shema. The first chapter speaks of God, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The second chapter is about mitzvot. Im Shamoah Tishmu, if you're going to listen to it, you're going to keep the mitzvot. The second chapter of Shema talks of Sinai, God's revelation to his people. The third, the parasha of Tzitzis, talks about the Exodus from Egypt, which represents God's ultimate Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence. It works, you have these threes. I once gave a shiur with 27 threes, and I dared anybody to find more. I don't think anybody did. But there most probably are more. There are more. The threes are very significant for Rosh Hashanah. The heart of the Musaf prayer of Rosh Hashanah are the three great blessings, Malchus, Zechronos, and Shofros, where we, in the first, we talk about God as King. In the second, we talk about the fact that God remembers and God knows and God judges. And the third is Shofarot. And it's an absolutely powerful, poetic description of revelation at Mount Sinai and the great sound of the shofar. Those three, which make up the heart of Muslims of Rosh Hashanah, also represent they are the three pillars of Jewish faith. The existence of God, Malchus, God the King. Zechronos, reward and punishment, divine providence. God remembers, God knows, God rewards. Unfortunately, sometimes he punishes. And then Shofarot, of course, is the great description of Torah at Sinai. But let's go further. But in some cases, this is repeated in great detail on a smaller scale, as in fractals. If you don't know what fractals are, that's wonderful. I don't have a clue what fractals are. Except that in another section, of this introduction, Rabbi Sachs explains to us what fractals are. There's nothing missing in your education if you don't know what it's about. Okay. It's very simply, a fractal is, there may be a major structure of tefillah, or of anything, and then you have it someplace in miniature. In something much smaller, you have the whole same idea. In science, don't ask me how it was used, but it started with the idea that a rock represents a mountain. Everest, Kilimanjaro. The rock is the fractal. You have it in tefillah, and maybe we'll get to one yet. Watch. Let's go further. Come on. We got things to do. The most striking example is the weekday on Midot. The weekday Shemone Esrei, which is composed of three parts, the threes, praise, request, and acknowledgement. The Shemone Esrei starts with the first three brachot, which are the praise of God. Hokel, Hagodol, Hagibor, Vahanora, Magen Avraham, Chayei Meitim. And then come in the middle, there are 13 brachot of petition, where we ask God, Chavashon, give us a little seichel. Forgive us, bless the crops of the land, return our judges and great leaders as of old, destroy the enemies of Israel. All those, that's the center. And the third part of the last three brachos, which are all thanksgiving and acknowledgement. Modena Nachmullah, God, we thank you for everything. You've done so much for us. You've done so much for us. Al Nisecha, God's a pasuk that has to be said time and time again. That part of the davening in Modin, on your miracles and your wonders every day. And sometimes we don't even realize it. I didn't hear the news this morning, but they found them and they killed them. They found them and they killed the two terrorists who murdered the boys. And that murder triggered a war. And that war discovered tunnels. And they were preparing for us a Rosh Hashanah never to be forgotten. I don't want to say anything. I hope that God took care of everything. And the Rosh Hashanah in this country that could have turned into a profound nationwide tragedy was averted. Right? 72 of our boys gave their lives for it, but unbelievable. Nisecho v'niflotecho shenachoyem emonu, your miracles and your wonders every day. Right. So the most striking example is the week, the Amidah, which is composed of three parts: praise, request, acknowledgement. The first and last of these are each constructed in threes. All right? Second part, also three. Three brachos at the beginning, three brachos at the end. Then what he does is he says the 13 in the middle are really divided into groups of three. They add up to 12. Shema Koleinu, which is the 13th bracha, doesn't count, because Shema Koleinu is the one that includes them all and says, God, listen to all our prayers. But the other 12, the 12 brachas are divided into four groups of three. Seven. Less obvious is the fact that the middle 13 blessings, the requests, also share this structure. There are six individual requests. The first six are individual, and the second six are all communal, Klal Yisrael. Build Yerushalayim. Destroy our enemies. Bring back Malchus Beis David, the kingdom of the house of David. These are communal, Klal Yisrael requests. The first six are Revenge of Mil El Seichel. And even those are the, watch, let's go. There are six individual requests, followed by six collective ones, each divided into two groups of three. The individual requests begin with three spiritual needs: understanding, repentance, and forgiveness, followed by the three material ones: deliverance from oppression, healing, refuahiyu, and prosperity, borei cholenu. It takes the whole Shmon Esrei and shows that the Shmon Esrei is not a hodgepodge by any means. There's such thought out structure to it. And then the collective requests begin with three political historic elements: in gathering of exiles, Tekah b'shofar gadol l'chayruteinu, bring us all back. Restoration of judges, Hashiva shofteinu k'var rishona, and an end to internal strife, the slanderers. But it also, l'amashinim, but it was also, our biggest problem, of course, are the slanderers from within. I'm reading the book now. You'll most probably hear the major sections of this book. We'll save that till after Yom Tov. The name of the book is Ta'asiyat Hashkahim, the industry of falsehood. And this fellow takes us through the left and just proves step by step that everything is based on sheker, lies. They made it all up. it boggles the mind. I have a Seder at night before I fall asleep, you know, to read this. It's not good. It's not working. It doesn't let me fall asleep. I'm going to have to get a comic book. I don't know, Superman, maybe. Help me. But it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. We are surrounded. We have to find ourselves. If the Gemara says that this is Olam HaSheker, wow, is this a world of falsehood. All right, let's go back. And then it's followed by three material ones. Deliverance from oppression, healing, prosperity. The collective requests begin with the three political, historical elements, ingathering of exiles, restoration of the judges, and end to internal strength, followed by the three spiritual bases of nationhood, the righteous, our tzaddikim, Jerusalem, Bonei Yerushalayim, the restoration of the Davidic monarchy. Okay? And then the 13th, here our voice stands outside the structure of the it is not directed to any specific request, but it is that a prayer that our prayers be heeded. The number 7 is also significant. This is what we went through the threes, just get to the sevens, because we're going to be saying this capital Tilo 7 times before the Kiyat Shofar. 7 is also a significant number. By the way, what else is there that we say 7? What? At the end of Yom Kippur, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. I have a feeling that the chapter of Tehillim that we say before Musaf reaches its ultimate conclusion with the 7 times Hashem Hu Elokim at the end of Yom Kippur. The capital Tehillim that we're going to learn, we better get to it fast. That capital Tillim begins our Yom Nirayim, and Hashem Hu Elokim 7 times ends the Yom Nirayim. The number 7 is also significant and always indicates holiness, as in the 7th day, the 7th month, Tishrei, with its days of one. And here it is, we are also entering the great seventh year. There's a very interesting article, a long article, in Jerusalem Post this morning describing all of the options for Shemitah observance. It's something that should be read, and that's also something about which I will comment later. Not now. Okay? And then the 7th year, the year of release, Shemitah, and the 50th year, the Jubilee, which follows 7 cycles of 7 years. 7 in Judaism is not a simple prime number. It's the one after 6. And the significance of it being the one after 6. 6 represents the material, physical, secular. Ancient Mesopotamia, the birthplace of Abraham, originally used a numerical system based on the number 6. Western civilization still bears traces of this in the 24-hour day. 2 times 6 hours of daylight, 2 times 6 hours of night, of darkness. The 60 minutes in an hour, the 60 seconds in a minute. All 6s, that came from ancient Mesopotamia. All of these originated in astronomy, at which the ancient Mesopotamians excelled. Judaism acknowledges the 6-part structure of time and space, but adds that God exists beyond time and space. Hence 7, the one beyond 6, becomes the symbol of Ahud. Now let's take a look. We'll come back to number 6 afterwards, but let's get to that perikantelium. For the conductor, Menatseach is the conductor by the sons of Korach, a psalm. Korach was a Levi, the sons of Korach, whose lives were saved, and they were not swallowed up by the earth. They became great singers in the Beit HaMikdash. Kol ha'amim taku chav, with a simple meaning, but I have 2 mefarshim here for you. Immediately to the left is the Radak, Rav David Kimchi, 12th century commentator on Tanakh, and number 3 is a 19th century Malbim and we will take pieces of each one to explain what's going to happen here. Now, there are 10 psukim in this capital. The only thing is, the first one is just the title. The body, a 9 psukim. Uh-huh. 9 psukim, okay. Now we're going to see that these 9 psukim are really divided into 3 separate and distinct sections, each dealing with a related topic. Okay, so we have a 9, which is 3 threes. There's only one Shmona Esrei, one Amidah davening during all of the year that has 9 blessings. Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Every Shabbos, Yom Tov are all 7. Weekdays of the 18, 19. Here it is, 9 psukim of significance that precede the great Shmona Esrei with the 9 blessings in it. And the 9 are divided into 3 distinct parts. Kol ha'amim tik'u chof. All of the nations of the world. Tik'u chof. Tik'u chof means, you know what? A tekias kaf, a handshake. You know what a handshake represents? We're friends. Can you imagine that? All of the nations shaking hands with one another? You know what that is? That's Mashiach's sight. We right now are living in a world that has never been at war with itself. I don't know, in history, it's unbelievable. Everybody's killing everybody else. Unbelievable. And I come to pages 8 and 9 of the Jerusalem Post. I can only read the headlines. How many killed by a bomb there? How many were wiped out by the IS there? It's totally what every day. It's been going on for years. Can you imagine, God forbid, if they would ever be able to get their hands on us? But the Rebbeinu gave us a Medina land, and he gave us an army, one of the best in the world, unbelievable. So it staggers the imagination. Kol ha'amim tik'u chof. All of the nations of the world, shake hands. We'll see right away. Hodiyu l'kim. Shout out to God, the kol rina, with a sound of song, a cry of joy. What's going to happen over here is a united mankind is going to crown God as their king. It can only happen when they are a united mankind. So now you get it, the theme already of this whole, of his 9 psukim, is the coronation of God. What's Rosh Hashanah? All of Rosh Hashanah is the coronation of God. The first added blessing in the Musaf is Malkios, God's kingship. And you know what the nations are going to realize? Ki Hashem Eyam, that God is supreme, and Nora, he is awesome. He is Melech Gadol al Kol Haaretz. He's the king of the entire earth. We're entering that time of year. We don't say HaKel HaKadosh, we say HaMelech HaKadosh. Not Melech Ohem Tzedakah Mishpat, HaMelech HaMishpat. Melech Gadol al Kol Haaretz. Yad Ber Amim Tachteinu. Ah, this is very... He shall lead nations under us. Yad Ber Amim Tachteinu. He shall lead nations under us, you'll see right away, Ula Umim Tachat Ragleinu. And regimes under beneath our feet. Okay, we'll see right away. Let's take out a moment and go to the Radak, to the left. Lamatzeach, Gamzeh Mizmor Yimot HaMashiach, Ach HaMilchemet Gog U'Magog. This chapter in Tehillim also was talking about the times of Mashiach following the awesome battles of Gog U'Magog. He says also because the chapter before in Tehillim also dealt with the Messianic era. Kol, Omrim Yisrael, Israel tells the world, Kol Ha'amim Yitku Kaf, V'simchu Imanu, and be happy with us now. According to the Radak, Tikku Kaf may be applause. Rashi says clearly that it means shaking hands. They have to be unified. So Israel, the Radak says, Israel says that all of the nations should cheer. The Simchu Imanu, be happy with us. Ki kvar yadatem ki hu Elokim. You know already now. By now you already know that he is God. For hu amelach hakol haaretz. You know already that he is the king over the whole earth. Ki hu al hakol. Ki he is the one elyon. He is over everything. V'hakol tachas yado. And everything is under his hand. For hu noron, he is awesome. You know it already. You have learned it already. You have seen it now in history. Yadber. He leads. What does he lead? The Radak says, Yenaheg. He leads, Kloma, Nohagam, Miktsay, Oretz, and Yerushalayim. You know where he's going to lead them? He's going to bring them all to Yerushalayim. Right over here. We're waiting for them to come. What a schus to be living here. Look at the next pasuk in the text. Yivchar lanu et nachalateinu. God chooses for us our heritage. Et Gaon Yaakov. He chooses for us our heritage, which is the pride of Yaakov. Asher ohev, whom he loved. Selah. And what does that mean? Radak again. Yivchar. Listen to this very carefully. Ma shehaya mikedem shalanu, what belonged to us from eternity. What belonged to us. Ato gam kein bachar otalanu. Now also he chose it for us. V'heshivonu eleha, and he brought us back to her. He brought us back to the land which was always ours. It didn't belong to anybody else. Nobody ever settled it. And you know what this land is? It's Gaon Yaakov. The Tiferet, the majesty of Yaakov. Because our majesty over all the nations flows from the greatness of this land. Oh boy. At Gaon. Oh, Ed Zedeker. Dikduk Asher Ohev, Hamakom Azer Ahavo Hakel, Vahu Yerushalayim. What is it that he loves most in this country? He loves Yerushalayim. And all of this, once we know that Yerushalayim is the center of it all, this is where the nations of the world are going to start coming to, when they recognize that God is not only the king of the earth, but he is Nora, he is awesome. Give halom et nachalatel et beon Yaakov asher ha'yisela. How many psukim was that? 1, 2, 3, 4. In those four psukim, we have described the fact that the nations of the world have been united. They have come to realize that God is the king of the whole world. He is awesome. They also recognize, basic to their understanding that God is king, is that his people own his land. How do you like that for an extreme right-wing statement by David HaMelech? You understand? And the place that he loves, this city, is what God loves. It's unbelievable. And we're safer to be here. But I mess up Peter, must be because my parents, my Savior. Now, what's beginning, the first four psukim, the first four psukim are talking about the world coming to the realization, the recognition. They know the fact. They know what it's all about. And therefore, they are ready for God to be crowned as the king of the world. You know what? There's a great difference between the coronation of God and the coronation of a king of flesh and blood. King of flesh and blood, you understand, somebody in long flowing white robes, I imagine, places a crown upon his head. No. Galatian doesn't need anybody to place the crown upon his head. The Rabbein Shlalem assumes the position of king on his own. Elohim, God went up. Betrua, the sound of the blast, the Trua, Hashem Bekol Shofar. God rises as king by the sound of the shofar. Incidentally, let's not forget it. We are saying this before the sounding of the shofar. This is telling us that the ultimate significance of the sound of the shofar, you know what it is? To remind us, Bayomahu Yitoka the shofar Gadol. We say that in the Musaf. The day is going to come when the great shofar is going to be sounded, and that's going to be the shofar that's going to call all Jews who are still straggling behind over there to make their way here. And it's the sound of the shofar that's going to announce that God is king of the world. Oh, we should only be there to see it. Oh, God. He better do something fast. This place, this Middle East is going to implode. Unless, of course, Obama will save us. Had chance of that. No chance. So if we don't have Obama, the salvation will be doing. All our little king, God rises and takes over the kingship between Hashem, Mikol Shofar, the sound of the shofar. The sound of the king, Zameru. Make music before God. Make music. Zameru of king, Zameru. Make music before our king. We're telling the nations of the world, this king, who now assumes the throne, that's our king. Malkeinu.
Blow the shofar.
Somebody said something I didn't hear. Who's going to blow what?
Wait,
where's that coming from? I can't hear.
Evelyn,
yes?
6 o'clock at Kevin Ruckel today, we're blowing the shofar. I'm a big shofar. I need everybody to come.
Evelyn, this is a commercial, but this is a spiritual commercial flat. In the middle of this year, and there's Evelyn Hayes, Mrs. Kever Rachel, and she's holding the shofar in her hand.
Now,
I want all you people in the world that are watching this video, Evelyn is here with a great big shofar, and it's going to be sounded at Kever Rachel today at 6 o'clock. You're going to miss it. Evelyn? Wasn't that nice? Wasn't I nice? Ki melech kol ha'aretz Elokim, Elokim is the king of the whole earth. You know what it means? They are moving up. They have seen him throughout time. They have seen God as Elokim. Elohim is the God of nature. God is now rising above nature. Zamru maskil, you intelligent and intellectual ones, the ones most probably who made all the songs in the world, sing to God, Some must do. This is the end of the second part. How many psukim were there in the second part? From Pasuk 6, Ola Elokim Betua. This is God ascending the throne. Ola Elokim Betua. How many psukim are there? Ola Elokim Betua. Zamru, Kimelech Kol Haaretz Elokim. Three psukim. That means we've said that there are three parts to this Kapitel Tehillim. The first part is four psukim. The second part is three psukim. That leaves only two psukim for the end. It moves from four to three to two. The last two psukim. Now we have Mefarshim to learn. The last two psukim. This is already God is now, so to speak, sitting on the throne. Malach Elokim al Goyim, God reigns over the nations. Malach Elokim al Goyim, Elokim, Yoshav al Kisei Kocho, he sat on his holy throne. Nobody seated him there. He has assumed the throne. Nedive Amin Ne'esafu, the nobles of the peoples have gathered. Am Elokei Avram, the people who are for whom their God is the God of Abraham. Kila Elokim Mogini Aretz, for the protectors of the earth are gods. Meod Na'alohim, is exceedingly exalted. Avram is considered the one who is the father of all converts. He's the one who discovered God, so to speak. And they're all, the whole world, you know what it means? It means sort of like history is going to make an about face, and it's going to take us back to the moment of Avraham Avinu, but Avraham Avinu's message is finally going to get through to a whole world. What he started 4,000 years ago in Ur of the Chaldees is ultimately going to come to its successful conclusion, that a whole world will become the students of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the one man on the face of the earth. When a whole earth had forgotten God, he discovered him. And he made it his life's task to bring that message to a whole world. Did Avraham know at the end of his life that he had really succeeded only with one? You know what you need? You need one good Talmud. He had Yitzchak. Could he have imagined that the day would come that a whole world would be the children of Avraham? Dovid HaMelech is saying, that day is going to come. They are going to be, all the nations of the world are going to be the people of the God of Avraham. We've got a lot of work to do here yet. In the Radak, Ola Elokim. Ola Elokim. After that underlined section where God says that he loves this place, he loves Yerushalayim. Ola Elokim. Yomru Yisrael, Kishu Yoshiru Rakel, Ola Elokim, Betrua Kloma, Ata Nisawa, I call it now. Israel tells the nation of the world, God has now risen above all. Zamru Elokim, Kemo Lelokim, sing to God. The Kefil Zamru, they say it another time, the Chazek, how many times does it say Zamru? One, two, three, four times. Zamru and Zameru. Zamru and Zameru. We'll have to figure out the meaning of four. All four corners of the earth. How was that? On the spot. You know, I'm beginning to like it. I mean, I think that's really sharp. North, east, west, south. All you, sing to God. This is beautiful. How many times have I told you that you inspire me? All right, let's go further. V'amar, what does it say? The pasuk says, L'malkeinu. The first three, by the way, I may be going off the deep end, but I think I'm not wrong. This pasuk, what pasuk is it? It's pasuk 7. There are 6 words in the pasuk. 2 halves to the pasuk. The first half of the pasuk is Zamru Elokim Zamenu. The second half is Zamru Limalkenu Zamenu. In other words, that Elokim, that mighty, awesome power that they are singing to, we're letting them know, you know who that Elohim is? That's our King. The one who has always been our God. V'amal Malkenu, the Radak says, Ki Ata, Banu Nityached Shemo Ba'olam, through us, his name has become one in the world. V'hu Malkenu, he's our King. Avo Bayom Ahu Yeh Melech Al Kol Haaretz, but now, from this day onward, that is described over here, this Melech who was Malkenu is going to become Melech Kol Haaretz. That's the next pasuk. Malkenu now becomes transformed into Melech Kol Haaretz. Let's go to the next place where it's underlined. Melech Ad Atam Malach LeKim Yisrael LeBadar. Until now, God was king over Israel alone. Av Al Atam. Now he is king of Kol HaGoyim and all the nations of the world. The Yoshav al Kisei Kacho, and he sits upon his holy throne. Kamo Melech al Kisei Vahakol Tachtav. Everything is beneath him, and the whole world is going to gather to him.
Right. So I think there are a lot of things that we know already. There's no question about it that we are talking about. I don't think there's any other chapter in Tillim, except maybe for those psukim in Zechariah, V'hoyo Hashem Lemelech Al Kol Haaretz, where Zechariah describes that God is going to be king over the whole earth. But here it is, here we have the description of the coronation. And the coronation is accompanied with the sounds of the shofar. The shofar announced God's kingship in the world. By the way, God is the only one that's going to set this world straight. I see no possibility for any human being to set this world straight. And I wonder whether they notice that all of the struggles, and there are many of them, in the Muslim world have absolutely nothing to do with the West Bank. The Sunnis are killing the Shiites, and the Shiites are killing the Sunnis. The Sunnis and Shiites are killing the Alawites, and the Alawites are killing the Yazidis. And all of them are after the Kurds. Friedrich is Titzach of Titian and of Ben. And it has nothing, these are all hatreds that are 1,000 or more years old. They were here before the West Bank, and they will be here after the West Bank comes completely Israel. Nothing going on in the world has anything to do with what's going on in Eretz Israel. And they have the great falsehood in the world. If you settle the Israel-Palestinian issue, there'll be shalom al kol haaretz. Peace and goodwill will reign to all men. Ain't gonna be that way. Well, now, the Malbim, at least the first section of the Malbim is very, very significant. It looks formidable, it's not formidable. Lamnatzeach l'vnei Korach. Husad al eit ha'atid, this is all, its foundation is, we're talking about the future. Hamekuveh that we hope for. Shiakiru kol ha'alam malchus Hashem, that all of the nations will recognize the kingdom of God. V'yelchu levakesh pnei Hashem b'tzion. And they're going to go seek God in Tzion. They're going to come here to seek. They're not going to go any place else in the world. This is the place that they are going to come to.
Kol Ham. Now, listen to this. Very carefully. Bizman Hazeh, nowadays, Ha'amin Hein B'Milchama Tamidit, they are constantly at war. He wrote it 150 years ago. Could have written it today. Today. In our time, nations are constantly at war. Goy b'goy, mamlacha b'mamlacha, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. V'zem shtei sibot. There are two reasons for the constant war in the world. The first one, he says, is sibat ha'emunah, faith, religion. Religion is a major factor in all wars. As of course all of the, so many wars are all religion. Christians against Muslims, and as we mentioned, all of the Muslim sects, one against the other. And Christians against Christians, and all of them against the Jews. Sibat ha'emunah, shekol bal emunah miyuchedet yilachem v'yirtzeh lahachriach bal emunah achedet el amunato. Every person who is a believer wages war in order to coerce others to believe what he believes. Why? I still don't understand. Understand. Let him believe what he wants to believe, and you believe what you believe. I don't get it. I don't know what they want. But no, it seems this is the evil that lurks in the minds of men. Then I've been hearing a lot lately, I see a lot of people are beginning to mention it. The whole Middle East, the national divisions, the boundary lines, were all arbitrary. The British and the French sat down in 1916 and they made lines on a map. The only ancient and real lines Eretz Yisrael. The boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are clearly stated in Torah. We know exactly what they are. But Syria and Iraq and Iran and Lebanon, all of them never took into consideration the indigenous nations who were living there. A hodgepodge of people. The truth is they have to be separated. Sunnis and Shiites were simply never able to live together in peace. I'm afraid that even after you separate them, they'll end up fighting with one another. But they're a mixture of so many different people. Now, the second reason why people wage war, the Sibat HaMisra V'Halem Shalah, position and ruler. I want to rule over somebody else. I want to occupy him. I want Lenin's realm. I want his oil. Shekol am rotze listarer al amin zolato. Every nation wants to rule over another nation. Al pizeh yoma la'atid lavo. That's why the Navi says that in time to come, lo yisar goyel goy cheref. No nation will lift up a sword against the nation. Rak kol ha'amin yitgu kaf. Zero said, the Malbim is definitely learning, just like Rashi, that Tekiat Kaf over here does not mean applause, but it means that each nation is going to shake hands with every other nation. Lasso Shalom Benim, to make peace between them, Ad Olam forever. Lahashbit Cherev Mulchama, to bring an end to sword and war. Kiyos Yavdu Kulam Kelechad, they will then serve one God. Vashem Yemelech Echad Al Kulam. God is going to be one king over all of them. And that's why it says, Horigul Alukim Bekol Rina. Shohiyodarkum Haria Betua Bekol Shofa Be'et Hamlochat Melech Chodesh. He says at the time that a new king would be crowned, they would, the sounds of the trumpets, when we've seen it in in England, in movies, and the sound of the trumpets. So the sound of the shofar is that which is going to
bring God to his kingship. Ki Hashem v'yadri away.
Alright.
Shal yadartu lahadriya v'truah v'kol shofar v'eit hanloch asmel ha'chorash. The sounds of trumpets when a new king would be appointed for us. Yamlichu kulam et all the king. What's going to happen then is that all of them are going to crown Elohim lemelech al kol haaretz over the whole earth. V'yoriu trua gedola. I'm just noticing something here. One, two. There are two names of God usually that are used in Torah. The one, of course, that Torah begins with is Bereshit Bara Elohim et Hashamayim et Haaretz. Elohim is the overall name of God. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei Hashem is the name by which we know our God, the God of Israel. I counted that Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei appears only twice in this chapter. In the third pasuk, Ki Hashem Elyon, Nora, Melech Gadol al Kol Haaretz, a whole pasuk that describes only God, and that God is the Yud Kei Vav Kei of the Jewish people. The second is in pasuk 6, Ola Elohim Betrua. Elohim rises Betrua, and then he is seen as Hashem. The cold shofar with the sound of the shofar. Otherwise, the name of God that's used is Elohim. Because the nations of the world don't recognize much beyond Elohim. They have not yet entered into any kind of a personal relationship with him. They only see him now as king. We go one step further. That's understood by the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. He's not only Malkeinu, but he is also Avinu. But they don't see him yet as Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. They're novices, they're newcomers. And these newcomers only recognize Elohim, who is the God of creation. They have not entered into any kind of a relationship with him yet. Right, let's go further. Now, let's move to where the Malbim, where I've underlined the Malbim. Yarveh amim takteinu umim tachas ragleinu va'oz. What will happen then when they begin to recognize that God is the awesome one of the whole world? Yarveh v'yanhiget ha'akum takteinu. The goyim are going to be under us. Mitzan hanhogas ha'mishpat v'yoshakosu v'shofar ben ha'goyim. It will be God's justice. Ulumin tachas ragleinu and nations under our feet. Mitzad hadat v'atorah v'yishakosav ki mitzin totzi Torah. In what respect are they going to be under us? That our heel is on them? We crush them? We enslave them? No. Only one thing. They're going to recognize that the ultimate and true religion is our religion. Yifcha, mevar me'eze matam teitze hanhogas hameluchah v'hadas. Yifcha, see, he says that this pasuk Yifcha is now telling them very clearly that they should know where the source and where the place and where the focal point of the whole world is. That's right here. Mevar, he makes clear, me'eze matam teitze hanhogas hameluchah v'hadas. From which place will the message of kingdom and religion come from? Shezeiye mitzion, will be from Tzion. Shargan shehi chadeva ato. Malbim was talking, of course, about his days. In his days, it was still a desolate and destroyed city. O divchalom et nachlotenu. Shaschola
Hashras Hashchina Sham. So he says, Yivchal Lom Ved Nachol Atenu. Why is it called Goyen Yaakov? Because the first time that God appeared in Yerushalayim was the night that Yaakov Avinu dreamt that he saw God over him. He's sleeping in Yerushalayim. The first presence of God in the world is Yerushalayim. Yifchal lanu v'snach l'senu she'haschalas hashras hashchina. The first time the divine presence came to rest. Shom, there, hedol Yaakov b'mare hasulam. There he showed Yaakov in the vision of the ladder. She'ro b'har ahub and he saw at that mountain. Shom ro gam kenes hamigdosh habonu la'osid lovo. G'moshon ha'chazal, when he slept there, he also saw the Bet HaMikdash that was going to be built over there. I'm going to say it seven times on Thursday, seven times on Friday, and there are going to be some people, that know what it's all about. It is a description, in fact, of God being anointed as King of the whole world. And what sounds that message to the whole world is the Kol Shofar, the Kol Shofar. So that this is one of the most important and significant messages of the Shofar, although there are many others. The Shofar is an awesome, awesome mitzvah that includes many, many great ideas. But also we've learned, of course, that numbers are very, very significant. Davening is very structured. What I should have told that fellow 40 years ago, Habibi, you have to learn how to daven. You have to put in effort. Va'avadatem, and you will serve God. Ezehu avodah shebelev. What is the service of God that is the service of the heart? It's tefillah. And tefillah requires effort. It can't be something you just walk in and daven. And the most important thing, I feel, is to learn the meaning of what we say. Learn the meaning. Even with all our nifrit, you understand? We can knock away of the nifrit, and we still don't necessarily understand what the Pasuk in Tehillim is talking about. So at least we've made one little step, one little great step for mankind. Ksiva v'ksiva teva, good is good job.
You want to talk about the article in the
Jewish? Oh, no, we save all of that for after Sukkot. Because if I start talking about Shemitah, you know, it's a very, unfortunately, a very divisive topic. Unfortunately. Anyway, I give this in joy. Come on, please. Sit down.
Left side. Take me. Close it.